Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Food waste is a confounding issue. We have an abundance of food in the United States, though much of it is non-nutritive, and yet one-sixth of us don't have adequate access to it. Moreover, according to EPA estimates, up to a third of garbage in our landfills is from a combination of food and yard waste. The food here is not only a resource that could benefit those among us, but it also contributes to greenhouse gas production with the release of methane into the atmosphere. So, what can we do about food waste? Well, composting is the art and science of collecting your food and yard waste and diverting it from the waste stream. Doing this through a process of biological change metamorphoses your trimmings into rich soil that can then sustain further growth of greenhouse gas-reducing plants and crops. My guest today, Natalie Mallory, is co-founder and operator of Tulsa-based Full Sun Composting, along with her husband, Don. She's here today to teach us about what composting is, why we should consider it, and what its health and planetary benefits are. Full Sun Composting started in 2016 in cooperation with the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma. Since that time, Full Sun has expanded to address food waste in Tulsa's restaurant and business communities and started a residential compost service. Customers simply collect their food waste in a 5-gallon bucket, and the company trades out the full bucket each week with a clean one to start the cycle over again. Natalie Mallory, co-founder and operator of Full Sun Composting, is my guest today on Studio Tulsa Medical Monday. Natalie Mallory, welcome to Medical Monday. Let's start by having you just tell us what composting is.
Sure. Composting is basically taking something that used to be alive. That's kind of the rule of thumb that you can compost anything that used to be alive. And utilizing kind of that natural system of breakdown or decomposition. Composting is happening all the time on the forest floor. Things are dying and the nutrients are being made available through decomposition, you know, being made available again to be able to be used by the plants that are growing and living.
And so I guess why is this important for, say, the environment?
So when you talk about composting, there are environmental benefits from, particularly we look at food waste. That's kind of been our mission. But keeping all organic, so even trees and limbs and branches and leaves and keeping all organics, things that used to be alive, out of incinerators or landfills. There's benefits to doing that, and then there are also environmental benefits to applying and using compost as well.
So let's start there. How do you use compost? I mean, I think of it as these organic products that break down, decompose, and basically become soil again or become soil, right?
Absolutely. And it happens really, really slow in nature on its own. And we're able to understand the chemistry behind it and do it really, really fast. So, well, I say fast, but your backyard composter, it might take, depending on the temperature, the moisture in the air, what you have available, it can take a while. It can take months for things to kind of break down and decompose. We're making really large piles of food and wood chips, and we're able to kind of move it through that process in about 4 to 5 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So just understanding the chemistry, the carbon to nitrogen balance to really provide the microbes with what they need to be happy and thrive.
And so wood chips are just an added element, almost like a catalyst, like it accelerates the process?
Right. So the microbes are kind of like us. They need energy, and they also need nitrogen or protein to build new parts. And just like us, they need more carbon than they need nitrogen. We need more carbohydrate than we need protein in our diet. So the carbon is found really heavily, excessively in the wood. So just carbon chains is what that wood is. And the food then has the nitrogen, even though it's a small amount of nitrogen. And whenever you get the ratio of those two correct, the microbes are able to grow and thrive. And the way that we know that they're growing and thriving is that the temperature of the pile will rise. So we'll mix these two things together in the right proportion and the right ratio. And we'll take the temperature maybe 24 hours after we've made this pile. And it will be 130, 140 degrees. So that is, heat is a natural byproduct of the composting process.
And so I'm picturing like giant vats or giant steel drums or something full of, how do you do it?
So it's just out on a concrete pad. And no, they're free air. They're open to the air. So the three things that the microbes need are oxygen, which is hugely important, water, and food. So those are the things that they need to be happy and thrive. So if you kind of get one of those off, you have too much water, not enough water, the growth won't happen as well. And you'll see that reflected in your temperature. It won't get hot.
I mean, that's interesting. So it's creating all this heat just from natural biologic mm-hmm. processes.
But once they get finished eating all they're going to eat and decomposing what's decomposable, the temperature will start coming down. And that's whenever we know that it has run its course and that it's the process is finishing and wrapping up.
So interesting. And so when the temperature starts coming down, does it just go to the ambient temperature of the
atmosphere? It comes very close. Uh-huh. Exactly. It comes very close.
So it may be a little bit higher, but
yeah,
not.
Yeah, only by like 10 to 20 degrees.
Okay, but that's when I was, because you answered the question I was going to say, how do you know when you're done? I mean, is it that it looks like topsoil but it's really the temperature is really the indicator, but then I imagine it does look, and you've brought a bag here today to show us, but it's this kind of rich looking, very dark soil material, right?
Right. And a backyard composter would really be looking at what it looks like as opposed to temperature so much. Because a backyard composter, their pile might not be big enough to create that kind of breakdown, but it doesn't mean that it can't happen. It can happen slower in a backyard. We just know the chemistry behind it and are able to speed the process. So I think the minimum that a compost pile needs to be is 3 feet cubed to even come close to generating the heat to compost in that way. But there's definitely other ways to compost. There's vermicomposting that you can do with worms. There's anaerobic digesters that the process is without oxygen. We are very much with oxygen in our process. So there are other ways to take food scraps and be able to convert them into something useful.
So interesting. Okay, so let's start with, you mentioned vermiform compost. Tell us what that is. And that's not something you do, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's not something I do. I tried once, and there are folks that just love it. So basically the composting or the decomposition is happening in the gut of the red wiggler worm. Mm-hmm. And you, again, just like you keep your microbes happy, you keep your worms happy and they won't want to leave. So you keep them at the right temperature. You keep them kind of cool and dark. You feed them food scraps and they will digest it and go through it. And then what's actually usable are castings.
Oh.
So the earthworm castings is the actual fertilizer or the compost you would use. It's really nutrient rich and is the expression of that decomposed food.
Okay. And that's a different, I mean, that's something people, listeners, if they're interested in vermiform compost, need to look up. But I want to go back to what you do. So you said the minimum amount is usually 3 cubic feet, you said? Mm-hmm. So help us contextualize that for a homeowner. Like if I'm a family of 2.4 children and a dog or something, what a pet, how much food waste am I going to be generating? Obviously, I know it varies, but, and then is that in a week or a month, like that 3 cubic feet, like, is there something you can compare it to?
Yeah. If you're starting to compost in your backyard, the first thing you want to do is be sure that you have enough carbon or brown on hand. And that's going to refer to having enough leaves, having wood chips, having grass clippings, because that's going to be your source of carbon. Your food's going to be your nitrogen. So you're going to combine those in about a 2-to-1 ratio, with 2 being the carbon and food being the lesser of the two. So you need more of that than you do the food. You're going to add to it every day or when you think of it. And some things are not recommended in home composting. So we accept meat and dairy and citrus into our compost because we are on such a large scale. But the reason why you don't add some of those things in a home compost is because it's going to attract pests and vermin that you don't want to attract before it can break down. You can just start a pile on the ground and you will get earthworms coming up from underneath to help with that process. But yeah, you just start piling your food, mixing it with your leaves, mixing it with your wood chips. We get our wood chips from the Tulsa mulch site. So all the trees that are cut down in Tulsa go into our compost. So everything, you know, it really does. That's kind of what makes it work, is that everything comes from a very local source and that we have it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that we have it available.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Natalie Mallory, who is co-founder and operator of Full Sun Composting. She and her husband, Don, have been composting in Tulsa since 2016, and we're learning about compost and its health benefits. And Natalie, I was curious about, so the wood chips you say come from the Tulsa mulch, the park trees and other things, and is that something that they're happy to kind of donate to you to repurpose it? I mean, so that's a great win-win. It's like you're kind of helping them, they're helping you. It's like a recycling story. It's going back to the earth. I mean, that's, I like hearing that. Now, you told us also that you guys can accept things that a typical backyard composter shouldn't do, like meat. And so how do you prevent, you know, vermin from getting in there if people are putting meat in their compost buckets or things like that?
Right. So another thing that we want to do is also just prevent like an over invasion of flies or odors. And so those buckets are put into, they're emptied within a day or two and put into a pile. And actually, once you get all of it covered up, nothing is really interested in digging through a bunch of wood to get to it. They actually don't really want stuff that has stuff on it. They want it nice and neat and clean, I guess. but that helps to control odors and flies as well. But because it's on such a large scale, we are able to take things that might not affect the chemistry as much as it would in a smaller scale backyard compost pile.
So how many, I mean, do you measure it in tons or how many tons do you produce at full
size? Yeah, we do. We measure volume, typically measurements. And so we will put about 2,000 pounds of food waste into one pile. And also what's different about our piles compared to a home composter, so we will create one in one day, and then we don't add to it as it goes along. So we will be turning it so that we can check the moisture content so that we can give those microbes a fresh dose of oxygen because they're large and it does get compacted, and they need that oxygen to continue to grow and thrive. And you'll see the temperature go right back up whenever you turn it because they have been given that oxygen that they need. And then typically with a home compost, you're adding to it here and there every couple days. But yep, we keep turning it at least two or three times until we see the temperature start to drop. And then we know that the decomposition process is finishing up.
And then is there anything you have to do in order to treat the material before you like literally put it in a bag, put your name on it and sell it kind of thing?
We don't. It is exactly what we sift. So we just sift it and bag it. But there are definitely companies, or there definitely are groups that compost is a component of potting soil. Mm-hmm. So it's typically a third of the mixture in a potting soil. And if you're adding compost to your potted plants, you don't want it to be more than a third of your total soil.
Okay. And so I'm picturing, you said on a cement slab, these piles. So how do you turn them? I mean, is there an equipment or a rotating? I go back to drums every time, but they're not in drums. These are just in piles, and you don't add to the pile. So I'm picturing a cement slab with like tons of piles. So is this a place like not tourists, but like interested people could come check
yes,
it out?
We've had lots of people come out.
Okay, cool.
We've had lots of people come out. So we used to turn everything by hand with snow shovels.
Oh wow! And labor intensive.
Yes, very labor intensive, and up until only a couple months ago, we now have a front loader.
Okay.
And so we are able to turn it with a front loader. And there are some benefits to doing it either way. We can certainly do it a lot faster. One thing that we deal with quite a bit is contamination. So since we do pick up from restaurants, we will find anything that you would find in the trash. So we'll find plastic bottles, we'll find knives, forks, spoons, plates, you name it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes we do find broken glass. We have kind of hurt ourselves going through and pulling out that broken glass. But the first thing we do is we spread everything out on the floor to look for contamination and pull it out. And sometimes it is in our residential collections. And sometimes I can tell that it's been a child who's wanting to help. They really wanted to contribute to the compost, but, you know, crayons and things like that get in there. So kind of cute. Have to smile at that. Yeah, so contamination is definitely an issue, and that is industry-wide, very much industry-wide. And certainly with products that you see that say that they are compostable, there are some third-party groups that will certify. We look for a BPI-certified notation on the clamshells that we accept, on the cups that we accept. Those are typically made out of cornstarch or some type of glucose starch.
Okay, so you're talking about recycling, recyclable, you know, yeah, the clamshells or the silverware, which many companies advertise or they say come in and these are biodegradable. They make the consumer feel better that you're using some kind of plastic that is biodegradable. Are you telling us it really isn't?
No, okay. It really is biodegradable.
Oh, it is. Okay, good.
But sometimes it hasn't always been. And so composters would get stuck with all this stuff in their piles. So now it is better, but you definitely want to look for some certification on the stuff that you buy to make sure it's compostable.
What is BPI?
So I have to look up exactly what it stands for, but they certify that certain products are compostable, and they'll put their certification on there so that you know it will break down. And you can try it in your home compost for sure. Again, it might not go as fast. It might take a while, but you will see it disintegrate.
But to reassure our listeners back about the contamination, when you're talking about broken glass or plates or silver, I mean, you said at the end of the process, you do nothing to treat the material, the organic material, except you do sift it so that if there were big chunks, or I'm picturing like glass, as you said, or plates, but or bones or something. Like, because if you're taking meat, what bones are biological material, so they can compost as well, right?
So what's interesting about bones, they take a while, but when they get through the end of that 4 or 5 weeks and they've been hot, they've been hot, so they've been sitting at 160 degrees, 140 degrees for that length of time. They get really crumbly, and you can just snap them. We've also had eggs go through, and they hard boil. It's really a lot of fun.
Wow.
And so when we turn and we like to step on them and see that it's hard boiled, it's a hard boiled egg. But no, we sift it to actually to really separate it from the large pieces of wood. So, yeah, when you look at the product, we want it to be something that you can spread easily that doesn't have large pieces of wood still in it. And the wood that was too big that is sifted off goes back into the process.
Oh, nice.
And it's wonderful because it's already just fully inoculated with all that bacteria, and it's able to start the process right away.
So tell us about some of the health benefits of composting. So one, I mean, and when I say health, I'm talking about the health of us as people, but also the health of the globe. So one of the things is food waste, you know, by some estimates occupies as much as a third of like landfills as food or yard waste. I mean, that's a really shocking amount. So we're kind of wasting a lot of food, or there's a lot of food. And so that creates that heat creates a lot of methane, right, which is a greenhouse gas and contributes to global warming. So by outsourcing that food waste or yard waste out of that, we're in a sense helping that way. But are there other benefits as well?
Absolutely. So you're right that whenever food goes to an incinerator or when it goes to the landfill, you are losing all of those nutrients as well. You're losing all the resources that went into growing that food. So the fuel, the land, the water, all of that sort of thing. And yeah, whenever food or when organics break down, so something that used to be alive, when organics break down without oxygen, they do produce methane. And that is a greenhouse gas that's 25% more powerful than CO2. So it's something that, for the sake of climate change, definitely want to keep reeling that in for sure.
Is there some data to suggest that, you know, food that's grown in composted soil, you know, I would say there's definitely therapeutic benefit. My wife and I have become composters, and that was how I learned about Full Sun Composting. And we love the idea that we're diverting our food waste from the regular waste stream. It's almost like the kid you said, like, we want to help. It's just like fun to kind of, you get these 5 gallon buckets from Full Sun, and every week we see how much we can stuff it literally full. And I would say there, it's almost like, not quite the same, but almost the same as, like, you know, rolling up your sleeves and getting your hands dirty, like with potting soil, like in the garden and like growing stuff. So there's that benefit too.
Absolutely. And I think inherently people know that food is very, nobody wants to throw away food. You just kind of know this is an important thing. But absolutely, when you use compost, whenever you put it into your garden, it improves the soil structure. So if you have really hard clay soil, it can help to break that up. And the reason why compost works is that it is actually affecting the health of your soil, so the microbes and the life cycle of what maintains healthy soil. So there are kind of two different ways you can look at organic. So when I'm saying organic, it means there's life there. It's not like a certified organic process, if that makes sense.
No, I got you.
Yeah,
because on the front end, on the agricultural end, that is where like organic certification really comes in.
And on the agricultural part of it, you know, utilizing compost, the goal is always to strive for 5. So you want 5% of your soil to be organic or living. We've had our compost tested, and by dry weight, it's about 50% organic or living. Mm-hmm. You can't see them, of course, but it's just tons of microbes that are good for the soil that you can get into the soil. It improves the soil structure. It improves its water retention. So you don't have to water as often, and that can be super helpful in a drought for agricultural purposes. I think it can hold about a fourth of its weight in water.
Wow.
And the nutrients, kind of as opposed to utilizing a chemical fertilizer or a single nutrient fertilizer, there's a variety of nutrients that the plants need, and it's able, and it's in a form that they can readily use. So I've seen this in my own backyard. I've got some flowers planted that are in some soil that have never had compost. I've got some flowers planted in soil that I applied compost 4 years ago, And the composted flowers are three times as tall as the other ones. They're just puny.
Wow.
But what that tells me is my soil is very healthy. So all the little life forms that are in the soil, they're thriving and they're doing really well.
You're listening to Studio Tulsa. It's Medical Monday. I'm John Schumann. My guest today is Natalie Mallory, who's co-founder and operator-owner of Full Sun Composting, which she and her husband Don have been in business since 2016. Entrepreneurial business. Natalie, what led you and Don to start Full Sun Composting?
Absolutely. In 2016, I just kind of had this vision of, you know, the restaurants in Tulsa really don't have an option when it comes to throwing out their food scraps. And a lot of them are being produced. And not so much plate waste, but even just back of the house. So just the chopping and the grating that goes into producing that goes on in the kitchen. So we launched with the food bank, with the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma. And they would give us about 800 to 1,000 pounds of food every week. One thing you can do, or kind of the first thing that that you can do even at home, is to reduce the size of the food itself. So a whole apple is not going to compost as fast as an apple that's been chopped up. So you have to kind of remove that protective layer so the bacteria can get in and start the decomposition process. So we would test, you know, about 800 to 1,000 pounds to make sure that we knew what we were doing. We also went to training through the United States Compost Council to really get a really good feel and a really good idea of the composting industry as a whole in the U.S. So got that training, came back, and launched with the Community Food Bank of Eastern Oklahoma.
And so were you, in a sense, launched by them or an offshoot of the food bank?
So just that they were the first ones to agree that we could pick up their food scraps.
Okay, but that's a great
they were
going to
set it aside for us. Absolutely. So from there, just started emailing and calling restaurants and just seeing who was really going to be on board with it. And the next person on board was Libby Billings, and she has Elote and Roppongi and The Vault, and all three of her restaurants still compost to this day. And they divert tens of thousands of pounds every year. So love to do that, and I think that as a consumer going into a restaurant, you can feel really good about knowing that on the back end that your restaurant is really taking that approach to sustainability.
Yeah, and she, I think she's pretty upfront about the fact, at least at Elote I've seen, about sustainability as one of her core values of like the restaurant and the food processing and whatnot. So that's really interesting. And so how have, in your service area really is, I think I looked on your website, Tulsa County. That's the whole county, so it's a pretty big county. would you like to, or have you had inquiries from other counties or far away places?
I think, again, part of why it works is that everything is localized and you don't kind of waste the time or the resources with the travel times. And the miles. So kind of keeping it centralized. I think once you go past about 40 miles out, you kind of lose the benefits of having something that's centralized and keeping it local. But what's great is we have as much carbon as we could ever want. And the more folks that come on board with diverting their food scraps, there's, you know, the sky's the limit. So
you have additional capacity.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And then I was curious too, in your background, at the beginning, you sort of hinted at this when you talked about carbohydrate and nitrogen and diet and things, but you have a background as a registered dietitian. So how did that inform your decision to go into composting?
Absolutely. So food is super important to nourishing our body. And as we all know, the population is growing and we're all kind of scratching our heads. How are we going to feed all these people and how are we going to feed them well? You know, it's one thing to feed a person. It's another thing to feed a person well. And one way you can do that is to have really healthy soil to grow in. It's just kind of a huge circle. And, you know, the FAO estimates that about a third of what's grown worldwide is wasted. And it can happen at all different levels. It can happen in the field whenever you lose a crop. It can happen in transport when a refrigerated truck goes out and you lose your whole, you know, that whole thing. It can happen at distribution where something is exposed. Typically it's refrigeration, that it's not, it ends up getting into a temperature that's not considered safe for too long. And then it happens then at a restaurant or a grocery store and then at home. So, and those things happen in varying degrees depending on the country. So in the U.S., it happens really at the consumption level. But in countries like Africa, it happens at the beginning. They might grow the crop, they might lose the crop, or they might not be able to transport it. And so you have that loss. So the idea being, how do we feed more people with what we have? And by composting, you're able to grow more in a smaller area. You're able to use less resources to do it. You're able to produce nutritious food. So it's kind of a win-win. And on the environment side, you're able to sequester carbon whenever you apply compost. You're able to mitigate the emissions from other sources, whether it be landfill or incinerator. And it increases a soil's resilience to extreme weather. So drought, as we're starting to hear about again here in the U.S., you can't utilize those soils as well whenever they're going through a drought to grow food.
So how does Full Sun work? I mean, in terms of if someone who's listening to this is interested in learning more, I mean, because I imagine people hear this and think, this is something I'd like to do. It seems virtuous, but it's sort of like the idea of doing it for myself or, you know, what equipment do I need or, what would you recommend?
Right. So our goal is to make this not yucky and gross and to make it as clean and neat as possible so folks want to stay involved. I mean, it sounds really great, but, big piles of rotting food, it's not so glamorous. It sounds super glamorous, but it's not always glamorous, I promise. Sure, at home, if you want a home compost, there are a lot of ways to do it. You can buy a tumbler. Compost does not need sunlight to happen. So there are some tumblers that kind of keep it all nice. And, you keep going back to that barrel. It's like a barrel that has a handle on it that you can turn. You can put your stuff in there. One of the most common things I hear about folks who compost with a tumbler is they'll go out and they see these long black wasp-looking things, and they shut the door and they run away because they're afraid they're going to get stung. But what they're seeing are soldier flies, and soldier flies are attracted to decomposing food, and they are wonderful. Their larvae are wonderful decomposers. You want soldier fly larvae in your compost. So don't be afraid of the black flying insect that you see at your compost pile. It's being attracted to it, and it wants to be there, and the larvae are super, super helpful with that. You can set up a bay system with pallets or wood. Eventually, you're going to want to stop adding to your pile, your home compost pile, and start a new one so that your old one can just finish, so it can just stop and finish, because when you keep adding new stuff to it, the process kind of starts all over again. You can take chicken wire and just make a circle with it and hold it up with some rebar and start adding to it. But just consider that to have a successful compost pile, it needs to stay damp, about as damp as a wrung out washcloth. It doesn't need sunlight. It needs oxygen. So keeping it fluffed up every now and then can help to give those microbes a healthy dose of oxygen. And they need fuel or food to be able to keep decomposing as well.
Okay. And then for interested people who want to, learn more from Full Sun, what's the best way to get in touch? Is it the website or is there a phone number or something?
Sure. The best way is the website. There is a form that you can fill out with all your info, and it's emailed right to us, and we can answer your questions about composting as well.
Okay. Well, Natalie Mallory is the co-founder, operator, owner of Full Sun Composting, along with her husband, Don. And she has taught us a great deal about composting and its environmental and health benefits. Natalie Mallory, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Natalie Mallory is co-founder and operator of Full Sun Composting, based here in Tulsa. You can learn more about them at fullsuncomposting.com. Well, that's our show for this Medical Monday. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of KWGS or the University of Tulsa. For Studio Tulsa, I'm John Schumann with Medical Monday. Thanks for listening, and please stay safe out there.